the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a seat, if you would. Y'all kind of scatter yourselves on a Sunday morning. Like I'm preaching to a... Anyway. So the readings this morning are full of all kinds of incredible material. Sometimes preaching from the readings is a little bit of a challenge, but this morning the challenge is to more to be able to listen to all that is packed into these readings. In the first reading from Genesis, it's the end of the book of Genesis, and so it's kind of the culmination in some way, the headstone of the book of Genesis. And it's that long story about Joseph. Most of us learned it when we were in Sunday school and little kids. Joseph, the coat of many colors, where he is sold by his 10 older brothers into slavery in Egypt, and ends up being thrown in jail in Egypt. And because of his attitude and his style, he was the one that was especially loved by his father, Jacob. He was also the one that was quite especially a friend to the jailkeeper while he was in jail. And because of his astute ability to interpret dreams, we know that he ended up being second only to the king of Egypt in terms of prestige and power. And in this case, we see Joseph having functioned in Egypt for quite a while, having really begun the process of saving the country from famine and from starvation. People from Israel, the Hebrew community, coming to buy wheat. And so Joseph knows his brothers when he sees them, and he's touched, and he cried, he wept, and several times, if you read the reading, he has those experiences, and in all of his deal making with his brothers, what he ends up doing, of course, is forgiving his brothers for what they did to him, for having sold him into slavery in Egypt. But Joseph didn't forgive them just because he was their brother. He forgave them because he recognized that what they did was part of that larger hand of God working inside that community to bring it to a kind of fullness, and certainly to save it, very frankly, from starvation. So Joseph was a forgiving man by nature. And that became clear when you read the readings. It becomes clear that, that's why he had so many friends and was especially loved by his father. In the second reading, we see St. Paul. It's actually the reading, St. Paul's reading, it's to the Romans. But he's talking about the Corinthian community. In the Corinthian community, they had been fighting. Well, Christians, that's what we do. With each other and arguing. And the big argument was, okay, do we accept those Christians into our community? And do we continue the process of including them in our community even if they're not eating meat? Well, we all have our issues. And when we look at our own issues, they're probably as trivial and trite as that one in the early Christian community oftentimes. The point was this. In the Christian community, everyone could eat whatever they wanted. In the Hebrew community, there were strict laws. And so were these people really converted if they still kept some of the Hebrew law from the Torah? And St. Paul is urging the Christian community to accept them. And he says, you don't have to change your own conscience. You don't have to change your own mind about how you think or how you frame this whole business of eating meat. No, it's about the bigger hand of God. Your job is to accept them into the community. Your job is to include them in your life as a Christian community and live with somehow. Learn to live with all those differences. And in the gospel, wouldn't you know? Oftentimes this doesn't happen, but today it did. Bingo! The same kind of experience. And so Jesus is asked, well, how many times are we supposed to forgive each other? And of course, it's Peter who asks, because Peter doesn't filter anything. And that's why we learn a lot from Peter. He's kind of unfiltered. He says what he thinks. And I think that's what Jesus liked about him too, right? So Peter says, well, how many times do we have to continue to forgive these people? Seven times? And Jesus turns to him and he says, no, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. And of course, in numerology in the scriptures, 77 means infinitely. You just keep on in the process of forgiving people. If you're a Christian, if you want to follow Jesus, that's what we do. Okay. Now, I'm going to be here for about a year, and you're going to hear stories, because I like to tell stories. And I spent my early career as a missionary in the Philippines. And I lived on a remote island. Everyone spoke Warai Warai. I'm sure many of you took that in high school. And I spoke English. I had to learn over years the dialect. And I remember, and so you'll hear some stories, because it was kind of my first experience as a minister in the church. And I learned a lot about sort of the application. About the application of all this theology and actually psychology that I had studied before. So I tell stories. And so this one, kind of relating to what we heard in the scriptures today, I hope. I remember the experience of very, very early on in my ministry. I was very proud because I was the priest from the center part of the island, and I had a boat, because some of our barrios you could only get to by boat. I had a motorcycle, because other ones, the paths were very thin, you could only get to them by motorcycle, and I had a Jeep. And mostly I used the Jeep to carry people around to do Sunday ministries. So I was kind of cool because most people, we didn't have electricity or running water, much less people didn't own autos or even motorcycles at that time. So I thought I was kind of cool. And by the way, pretty much everybody else on the island was brown-skinned and Filipino and speaking Warai, and I was, of course, the white American priest from the Kyiviran. So I remember one day, I was in my Jeep, and it's the roads are just were about as wide as this, and they were all stone, if that. And I was rounding a bend, and this goat came out of the mountainside and just blasted right in front of me, and I smashed it. And I knew that the right thing to do was to somehow make amends to the individuals who owned this goat, because typically if there were a goat, it meant that there was going to be a wedding down the pike or some kind of a big reason to raise an animal, to expend what you needed to raise an animal. Fiesta or something was coming up, because all we ate typically was fish and rice for breakfast and rice and fish for lunch and then fish and rice again for dinner. So a goat meant a party, a meal, a special activity. So I killed the goat. And I knew the thing I wanted to do was put the goat on the side of the road and keep on trucking. But what I needed to do was make somehow bring the goat to the little barangay or Barrio and fess up. So when I did, I picked up the dead goat and carried the goat to the small village close by. My experience, of course, that I expected was that people were going to be very upset with me, that this meant the party was over, right? Instead, what happened was that the individuals who owned the goat decided, since the goat was dead, it was time for the party. And so they invited me and the whole little barrio to a party where they fixed the goat and we ate it together. And we celebrated. And somehow for me, that experience became my metaphor in some ways for what God is calling us to and me to. To be genuine with myself, with my deepest conscience, though I wanted to put the goat aside and keep on trucking, and to come face to face with what is expected. And that is that as Christians, we are expected to embrace each other. I was the odd guy out. I was, as it were, the alien. I was the white guy, and they weren't. And I was the guy that didn't speak their language, right? I was the odd one. But somehow, that experience of forgiveness brought us together. And it was something that needed to be celebrated. And I think that's what the readings today are telling us. All three of them. That when we decide, rather than being judgmental, for St. Paul says very clearly in the reading, welcome those who are weak in faith, but do not for the purpose of quarreling over questions, you are not to pass judgment on servants of one another. We oftentimes first can go to being judgmental rather than going to seeing where it is that we can forgive each other, right? What is it that I can do to draw me into deeper union with the other rather than how is it that we can divide ourselves, separate ourselves, or judge each other? And I don't even know you guys. I'm preaching this, you know, sort of out of the blue. I'm not trying to be judgmental in any case or say that you don't do that. I am, however, saying that I don't. I know myself. I know about first impressions. I know about, you know, people who think differently from me. I mean, I know, you know, been around long enough to engage in politics. I've been around long enough to engage in the institutional church. And we do that to each other. Somehow we can, even in the best of circumstances, lose that sense of looking for where it is we can forgive and include, because somehow we're more, I don't know, in tune with each other oftentimes when we figure out how we can exclude or divide or judge. At this table, there is no judgment. God knows if I stood there before I gave you communion and asked, well, okay, are you worthy of the body of Christ? Tell me what your sins are. I don't know about you, but I would be the first one to have to say, I'm probably not quite ready yet. And I would bet that that's where most of us, because that's what the scripture is full of. Jesus is full of that teaching. Because he knows that somehow in our human nature, so often we don't think of the bigger hand of God. And in building community, Christian community with each other, it's that bigger hand of God that we come to celebrate on a Sunday morning. Not really our own faith life. I always get disturbed by people who come to church and complain about the music. Well, you 8 o'clockers, you don't do that. Or complain about the sermon. Or complain about the vestments or the color or the whatever it is, the temperature. It's not about us. If you're coming here because it's about you, or even if you're coming here because it's about Ascension Congregation, you're probably in the wrong place. Because when we come here, it's about Jesus. And that's who we are. That's how we name ourselves. It's interesting, very quickly, because I tend to talk a lot, as you will find out. When Harvey hit, it became pretty clear that people weren't asking weird questions about each other's lives when they were in boats saving people. We didn't do it. We kind of knew. There was sort of a basic human nature that binds us together. And I think the readings today call us to that. That deep experience and expression that we should have as Christians, like Joseph, where we can weep as Joseph did when we know that it is that Spirit of God that holds us together as one. And it is that for which we search and seek as we continue this week together. In Jesus' name.